guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Say that more slowly because I'm stupid.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They've got to review now other potential options on that need to take the long view of it. And they were not going to bring back Irving if they thought potentially there was more damage that could be done. But it's a devastating blow to the Celtics. They've, you know, all but locked up that 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, but their hopes of winning a conference championship, beating Cleveland, Toronto in the East, they're obviously dimmed now.
Oh, God, that is ridiculous. Because he was, if Kyrie came back for the second round, or certainly if he's the conference finals, he's had, you know, a round under his belt. LeBron's in real trouble in that series, in real trouble this year.
And don't give me Toronto. I know it's a regular season, but still, they've owned them in every playoffs in recent years. But just know, Toronto, like, they're a threat to the Cavs this year. LeBron still has to get over the Toronto Raptors. Please. They beat them twice now in the last, like, week and a half. In one of these games, they were missing, like, 6 players. Toronto sucks.
You're saying the Celts were or the Cavs were?
The Cavs.
Well, the Celts beat them the last time, too.
Yeah.
Here.
Last Saturday. Yeah. Undermanned. A gutless franchise. Please.
Ballless.
This is what really sucks.
Like, they are ballless.
The Celtics weren't going to win the title this year. If it was Houston, you'd get probably a better series in the finals, but they really could get out of the East.
Seriously, I'm telling you, that I will never believe in that team after I've seen the last, you know, 2 or 3 years of them in the postseason. I'm done. No balls.
Okay, Kyrie Irving done for the year. Your issues, short-term and or long-term. Sean in Danvers, go.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
You alluded to earlier in the show that this injury to Kyrie Irving was kind of a ticking time bomb, and I think the things that we've heard after that would also agree with that assessment. So couldn't you make the case that this year was maybe the best year for this to happen to the Celtics, you know, since obviously, LeBron is still in the East. Gordon Hayward goes down game one of the season. And now your real window where you have a chance to really dominate the East doesn't really start until next year.
Yes, I think that's a way to make yourself feel better, Sean. And I'm not even saying you're making it up. I mean, it's true. You weren't winning the title this year, even with Kyrie. So if you got to lose him for a year, ultimately, you're not going to lose anything. So I think that's fine. I mean, I think that's a fair way to look at it.
It would have been better if they lost him earlier.
I mean, a little bit.
Like, you know, no, really. I mean, if it's going to be 4 or 5 months and you lose him in, you know, December or something, maybe especially before that 16-game winning streak.
So, but
they end up with better draft position and all of that. But now, what are you going to do? You're porked.
It also depends how you gauge it. You know, is it championship or bust, and nothing else matters? In that case, then you've lost nothing. I think it would have been fun to beat LeBron. Would have been fun in the long term to beat LeBron and valuable, I'm sorry, fun in the short term to beat LeBron. And in the long term, you really establish yourself to that next superstar that you are the next team. You're next. And now you've lost that. So I think there is something lost in the short term. And it just that, just those 2 weeks of playing LeBron would have been good. It's why we do it, right? For those moments. Sean and Chelsea, George and Chelsea. Hi, George.
Hi, so I'm going to go off a take someone else brought up earlier. So, about Terry Rozier and all the young guys, they're going to get experience. They're probably going to get their value up. I think that makes a good opportunity to offer for Davis, because I think if we get Davis, then that changes the whole complexion. Having Davis, Kyrie, Hayward, you know, all the other guys next year, I think that really...
No question about it, George. Of course, Davis changes everything. Do you think the potential is there for Rozier or Smart to really increase their value here in the short term?
Yes, yeah, I would say Rozier in particular. Look, you're going to be able to make some judgments on these guys now in real competitive, high-pressure situations. You know, and that's really assuming they can get past the first round. Because then you're going to run into someone good. I mean, I suppose you get Washington in the first round. I think the Wizards have good talent.
Boston, Philly, second round. As currently constituted, Celtics have a shot in that series?
Oh, sure, yeah.
They do.
If it's Philly? Yeah. Oh, yeah, they could be Philly.
That's a really inexperienced team.
Yeah, they could be Philly. Yeah, no two ways about it.
So you still could be in the conference finals. It's going to be more along the lines of what happened last year when you get there. But you can still go on a little run. It's just not the same with Kyrie. It's obviously.
Oh, no, know. No. There's a definite finish line now.
Joe in Malden. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, guys, listen, I agree with a whole bunch of the stuff you're saying, but I want to bring up 3 really quick points. Number one, first and foremost, you add Kawhi Leonard. He's a two-way player, one of the top 2 or 3 two-way players in all of basketball, and he could defend.
So, Joe, you do it.
LeBron.
You do it.
Okay, absolutely.
Okay, I just have to give you one take because your phone is not worthy of 3 takes. So he does it. The bird in hand, an established superstar in Kawhi versus the hope that Tatum becomes that or Brown becomes that.
So Brown, I give up. Tatum, no.
Stephen Newton. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. As a Celtics fan and not as a green teamer, I think you guys are green teaming like crazy right now. This sucks. It's a waste of 55 wins. I mean, it's nice to see the kids develop, but what if it goes the other way and they are terrible under the pressure? Which is probably what's going to happen because that's what happens in the NBA playoffs. And then playing against Milwaukee, a team with a superstar, I mean, the Celtics team put together right now, I don't think it's a top 18. Maybe, like you guys said, 6 or 7, maybe.
Well, let's see. I mean, you know, you got this amazing coach, so let's not forget that. You know, the coaching on your end versus what's in Milwaukee certainly is a, you know, massive advantage. And if Brad's as valuable as you tell me he is, then that's a big factor in that series.
I mean, they almost beat Milwaukee the other night.
I don't mean
with nobody.
You know, I'm not sugarcoating this. This sucks.
Oh, it does.
This sucks. It sucks whether you're really a fan of the team or you're not. Like, I'm not even a true fan of the team, like in that fan sense. But I love the spring. I love to say it again. I love those weeks where it's the Bruins one night and the Celtics the next.
You feel ripped off.
We go back and forth and you both go on a run and each, you know, has developing their own storylines within each series. And not that, you know, I could give two poops about the Washington Bullets. Like, one of the most meaningless franchises to me in all of sports. But last year during that series, I got into it. There was that great back and forth with Kelly Oubre and Kelly Olynyk and Wall getting his back up and Isaiah getting his back up, and by the end of it, you had some good storylines and some good hate going back and forth, and that was worth my time. I enjoy that. And then if the Bruins are doing the same thing, and it's just great. It just fills that time of year. It's wonderful. We just got totally robbed of it. It's done.
Oh, no, it sucks. There's just no two ways around. The caller's wrong, though, about where they are in the conference. They're not 7th or 8th. You're telling me Indiana's better than the Celtics, even as constituted? Horford, and again, Horford is what he is, okay? But he's still a good player. Horford, Morris, Brown, Tatum, Rozier.
Indiana still has the best player in that series,
though. Okay, but so what?
The Celtics are a better team. They should.
Two best players.
So, Indiana, Miami?
Oladipo and who?
Miles Turner.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Turner can be a little erratic.
Turner dominated you, and Felger, you were in those pretty courtside seats at the time. You watched it live.
I mean, you want to tell me Toronto, Cleveland, Washington, you know, those teams I'd say clearly better than the Celtics without Kyrie. Clearly.
You know who I noticed more than anyone else on the floor that night? Is the Stevenson character. That guy's
Lance Stevenson.
That guy is legit nuts.
Oh, yeah, he's crazy.
Oh, he's one of the great pain in the asses in sports.
He's a legit, that's a legit rat. You know, like if the hockey had the basketball equipment, that's what that guy is.
I think him and Marcus Morris hate each other.
Maybe that was it. I don't know. I noticed that guy. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if Marcus Morris has all of his screws removed yet either. I mean, he's got a couple that are loose.
It's just, so you can, like, so look, you want to enhance Brad's legend? You know, you all already have Brad Stevens on this level that I don't know if, you know, the playoff results haven't, to me, matched it yet. But if you win two rounds without Kyrie Irving, I'll give that to Brad. I'll give you all your Brad Stevens love. I'll give that to you and say, yeah, well, he made a real difference here in the postseason when it mattered.
They should still win a round. They should still win a round. I mean, they're not running into a team in the first round like they did a couple of years ago when they saw Atlanta. And I'm not saying Atlanta was great, but Atlanta had veteran proven players and the Celtics were nowhere near ready. They're readier now and the competition isn't as good.
John in Boston. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. I love Jason Tatum, but you got to make that trade. Kawhi Leonard was a two-time Defensive Player of the Year. When Jaylen Brown, Tatum is 20. When he was 22, he outplayed LeBron in the finals for 4 games. Jaylen Brown's ceiling is Jimmy Butler, and Kawhi Leonard is better than Jimmy Butler right now. So, I think you got to make that trade.
John, thanks for the call. It's a good call. Remember, on Tatum, he's closer to his ceiling than a lot of these other draft picks. Everyone knew that. Everyone said that about him. He's more NBA ready, i.e. he's closer to his ceiling.
Sure.
So just keep that in mind. You know,
I still think there's a lot of room to grow there. I do. I mean, you know, wait till he like really figures it out and gets stronger. He'll become a better rebounder. He'll become a better passer. All of it. And I think he's going to become a better scorer, too. He will figure it out.
Mike in Rockport. Hi, Mike.
Felger, do you remember when you asked, where's my Isaiah people?
Yes. Where are my Isaiah people?
I'm back here. Now, listen, I just want to revisit this trade, and I got a couple questions for you. So what is better, one hip surgery or multiple knee surgeries going forward?
So I would feel better about Kyrie's health than Isaiah Thomas's, but it's closer than people want to give that credit for. How about that?
Okay, so your knees get better with age? Is that what you're saying?
No, they certainly don't. No. I think they're both risks.
Okay, so now on to the trade, okay? So Brooklyn has the sixth worst record in the NBA right now. So they're very, very close to a top five pick. Now, everyone gloated Danny for giving up the Brooklyn pick. Lakers pick. We're gonna get a 2-3, 2-5 overall. We're not, okay? So, with the Isaiah Thomas trade, not only do I believe that Isaiah is a better player still if he's healthy, but Kyrie Irving, the first game of the year, not only cost us the season by throwing a horrible pass to Gordon Hayward, but now he's cost us the playoffs by getting injured, like, is very predictable.
Okay.
Would you stop?
Mike, you had me until the last 2 points that Isaiah's better than Kyrie. That's ridiculous. And so, I don't blame Kyrie for that alley-oop.
Okay. Well, listen. Okay, this is not gloating, okay, because
I'm going to cut you off. It's fair to go back and look at some of the tenets of that trade that we had given Danny credit for. The thing about the Brooklyn pick versus the L.A. pick, absolutely. Did I have that shoved down my throat that, see, Danny even gave him the right pick. See? Lakers are going to be worse than the Nets. No, not even close. Okay, so Danny did not nail that part of the trade. If he had a choice of picks to send Cleveland, I don't know that he did. But if he did, he sent the wrong one. But you gave him credit for sending the right one. Like, he did have a choice. So he lost that part of it. You gave him credit for sending damaged goods, yet you didn't put enough stock, and I didn't either, into the damaged goods you were getting back. True. So you're allowed to look at that trade and look at that trade a little differently. And depending on how it all turns out, and again, I'll give you, this is for years down the road, but Fultz or Ball, if they turn out to be better players than Tatum, you can bring that one up too. That's fair. So there's time. There's time to go on that trade if you want to hate on it.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Blend force drum!
We're going to run him right down their throat!
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Bass.
Who cares?
Felger and Bass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Five key offensive players have all been allowed to walk out the door. So that means Tom Brady goes into this year at 40 with his two best offensive pieces, 32-year-old Julian Edelman off an ACL surgery, and the not physically reliable Gronk. If one of them gets hurt, Tom Brady has never had a football team where he will have to pull it more than this year.
And we got all your Celtics calls on the board. We'll get back to you, but I did just want to mix this in because we love Colin Cowherd. I mean that, like, I like him a lot. I've always, I know him a little bit, but I like his show and I like his takes, and I'm always entertained by Colin Cowherd. And especially his Patriots stuff. He goes into the nitty-gritty of the drama, which I appreciate. But he gets into these things that get a little out there that may help if you are,
Deep hit. Jeez.
Keep going, Mass. Keep going. All right, let it out. Go ahead. So here's Colin Cowherd on the Patriots offseason so far, the latest being the trade of Brandon Cooks. This is about 3.5 minutes. You'll hear a little bit of what you just heard, but we'll stop and start. But here's Colin Cowherd yesterday on Fox Sports.
The headlines are Patriots now going to get a quarterback. That cannot be confirmed. But what I'm about to tell you can be confirmed. And much like LeBron, I believe, this is my theory, Bill Belichick is sending a message.
Believe.
Now, we all know Belichick, this has been published now, was furious when Bob Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, made him trade Garoppolo. Everybody downplayed it. Multiple published reports from even those inside and around the Patriot team as beat reporters, it ticked Belichick off. And Kraft sided with Tom Brady. Look at Tom's numbers, Bill. Tom has won his Super Bowls. Look at the Super Bowl against Atlanta. He's still amazing. So here's what New England has done. I am supposed to believe this is a coincidence that in the last 4 to 5 months, when Brady and Belichick have now a published and well-documented fracturing issue, festering, fracturing issue.
Stop. Uh-huh. That's when I stopped it the first time.
Well documented.
Festering, fracturing issue.
Yeah,
well fracturing issue.
Well documented.
Festering. Fracturing issue.
Wait, well documented.
That's when I first stopped
festering like a boil.
That's when you sent me this clip, and I right when I got to it, I said, "Stop it, we got something." Okay.
Fracturing issue.
This is a
festering fracturing issue.
Festering fracturing issue.
And what did he say at the beginning that he was irate?
When Brady and Belichick have now a published and well documented fracturing issue. Festering fracturing issue.
Festering fracturing.
Keep going.
Belichick has let Tom's number one running back go, Deion Lewis. His number one deep threat yesterday is now a Ram, Brandon Cooks. His backside protector, Nate Solder, is now gone. Cameron Fleming, who was the starting right tackle at the end of the year, gone. And because Julian Edelman was out, who was his number one playoff receiver last year? Danny Amendola. They let him go. Five key offensive players have all been allowed to walk out the door. So that means Tom Brady goes into this year at 40 with his two best offensive pieces, 32-year-old Julian Edelman, off an ACL surgery, and the not physically reliable Gronk. If one of them gets hurt, Tom Brady has never had a football team where he will have to pull it more than this year.
You don't want to pull it too hard.
Oh, no. Careful how much you have to pull.
Keep going.
Sacked more, pressured more, less home runs on a deep ball, less of a running game. What does it mean? Colin, what are you saying? I'm supposed to believe that it is a coincidence that his best running back, his left tackle, his best slot receiver, his best deep threat, his right tackle. Bye-bye. Gosh, wish we could have kept you. Wish we could keep you. You know what that is? In 1 year, Brady's numbers are going down, and Belichick's going to go to Bob Kraft and say, we're finally seeing his age. Because Tom's been fooling us with age. Unless you really go into the numbers, comes back against Atlanta. Last year, you look at his numbers, there's no erosion. But if you go inside him like Belichick does with data, there is proof that in November, December, January, Tom is coming down. Five valuable resources out. And you know what that GM told me last night about the NFL draft? Well, what do you know? It's a great draft, he said, but it's the worst wide receiver draft in years. There is no help now that Brandon Cooks is gone. Now that Danny Amendola is gone. You're not getting it in this class.
Okay, so that's Colin Cowherd yesterday.
Oh boy, he doesn't like Belichick, does he? Or Brady?
Bye-bye.
So he lays it on thick as usual. That's why we like it. But the whole premise that in the year that Belichick and Brady have a thing, and Brady wins the power struggle internally, and they trade Garoppolo, this is the year that Bill, without replacing anyone yet, lets the left tackle, trusted receiver, best outside receiver, running back, all those guys go.
Bye-bye.
I don't think it's totally a coincidence. He's overstating it. Cam Fleming? Okay. We're putting Cam Fleming on the list?
No, we're not. That's where he loses me, too. Cam Fleming does not belong on the list, but the rest do.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. Even Lewis I will give only a half a point to, because the reality is Brady would rather have James White. Right? So, but that aside, and Murray has touched on this, and I think there's some truth to it. Tom, you going to redo your contract? Again, and this is all, you know, sort of intricate. Oh, no? Okay, no problem. Solder, gone. Amendola, gone. Like, fine, Tommy, if you're going to be about you, you're going to lose players, too. And so, to me, it's all tied in, whether it's money or otherwise, and it's not just about the contract. It's Belichick saying, if you're so great, go ahead, do it without any help. Go ahead, do it. And collect your money, and you can play with a bunch of bums. There you go. Have a nice time. I think there is some truth to that, yes.
Is there something...
Festering, fracturing issue.
Yes, is there something vindictive in this? Because they have a festering, fractioning issue.
Don't you think with Bill there's always that possibility?
Yes, I do. I do. That there's a little bit of it. All right. Okay. We kept you. and your money, and you're the guy. But that means we can't afford other people. And if you're the guy, then we can get away with a little bit less at receiver, right? And if you're the guy, we can get away with a little bit less here and a little bit less there. And so let's see it. Let's see it, big man. You know, like a little bit like that. I think there's a little bit like that. I've also, I heard Beal and Zoe talking about this today, about, you know, that Cooks trade is just smart. I mean, that's just smart business, I think, especially for the long-term future of your team, you know, trading for a high draft pick versus 1 year of a receiver. So it hurts Brady in the short term, but it's better for the long-term, you know. And they were saying that's a sign that Bill is invested and is going to be here for a long period of time. I'm not sure about that. I mean, I can't predict what Bill's going to do. I think he's one and done. But whether it's about Bill staying or going, it's the right thing to do for the long-term interest of your team, right?
Oh, it's almost, I mean, typically during his tenure, that's what they've done.
And this is what I think, and I was late to this party, but this is what I think they're doing, and I think it's the right thing, and that is, screw Tom Brady. I mean, for all intents and purposes, we're not here to service you and give you what you need in the final years of your... No, no, we're about the best long-term interest of the team. And you won the quarterback thing, we traded the kid, so there's your loyalty. You wanted loyalty? There it is, we traded the kid. But we can't be sacrificing long-term stuff just so you get a good write-off into the sunset. No, this is the way it works. And we have to do things that are right for us over the next 10 years, whether Bill's the coach or Josh or someone else. That's the smart, right thing to do.
So this is Kraft now getting behind Belichick.
This is maybe this is just Belichick and Kraft on the same page. We're going to do what's right for the team. And what's right for the team is not to overload the next couple of years just so you get a good send-off. That's not what's right for the team. What's right for the team is making sure we're as good as we can possibly be over the next 10. And so, yeah, we're not going to pay Solder that at 30 years old, and we think it's a little overrated anyway, and we're not paying for 1 year of Cooks. When we can get a draft pick, we'll be here for the next 5 to 10, and we're going to start building for the future. And if that weakens you in the short term, sorry, Tom. You want loyalty? Hits in San Francisco. But we're going to do what's right for the team. And so, to me, it doesn't... The thing about it's a sign of Bill staying or going, like, I don't know. I can't predict it. I think Bill's gone after a year.
Yeah, but that's so half-assed now. That thinking makes no sense. Oh. After they moved Garoppolo and they decided, okay, we're backing Tom, you have to fully back Tom. You can't have it both ways now.
I think they're trying to.
Well, they're screwing it up. That's the wrong way to think.
I think it's the right way to think. They should have done it with Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Well, see, so that's the inequity on my, you know, so look, from my standpoint.
They should have done it with Garoppolo. Yep. Uh-huh. But, okay, so now that horse has left the barn. What now? Do you compound the problem by continuing to load up for the next couple of years just so Tom gets a John Elway send-off? That's not...
Yeah, but again, proof that they screwed this up. If they didn't end up doing it with Garoppolo like they didn't, then they should have moved him before last season so you could have gotten the maximum value for it.
We agree.
Yeah, this whole thing, they're tripping all over themselves.
Now it's over.
You can't have it both ways.
Now it's over and the horse has left the barn. You can.
You can't, though.
You can.
So, Murray, I don't like the inconsistency of it either. I mean, that's the part I don't get. Like, you're going to let... What they should have done is done this and had Garoppolo a quarterback.
Of course they should have. But
you turn the page, and now here you go. Here's the next era in Patriot football.
But they didn't. They gagged. They didn't have the nerve to do it. Fine. Okay, so now you're here with Brady, and you've still got a team that's going to be in your family for generations, and you've got the next 10 years to think about. And so do you pay Nate Solder that money, or do you draft the next guy? Because that's what's better for you for the next 5 to 10 years. And Tom's going to cry about it. Sorry, Tom. It's not about you. It's about the team. It's about the New England Patriots.
I thought it was about winning titles. So you load up now. Will you still have the best quarterback of all time playing at this level for a few more years? You can't have it both ways. The way I look. Well, no, we still want to be sort of competitive.
I don't think their number one goal. I don't think their number one goal is to win one more for Brady. I think their number one goal now is to set up their next 10 years, and Brady's going to be the transitional quarterback because he forced it.
You blew that last year. You can't think this way now. You're all in on Brady.
Don't you think this is what they're doing, though?
Well, it's wrong. It's 100% wrong.
So this was part of what I was trying to say yesterday as it pertains to Brady. If you're Brady, how do you feel about this?
So now I understand where you got it. Yeah, I'd be pissed.
And so if Brady didn't feel great, you know what I would say? Tough. Not about you, pal. Not about you. As great as you are, this is not the Tom Brady Patriots. It's the New England Patriots.
Felger and Maz.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
You know what that is? In 1 year, Brady's numbers are going down. And Belichick's going to go to Bob Kraft and say, we're finally seeing his age. Because Tom's been fooling us with age.
A little goofy. But, I mean, I don't know. Do you put it past Bill to be that vindictive?
No.
Okay, so I think it's more about just doing what's right for the team. And what's right for the team is to start thinking about the next 5 to 10 years. Because they've punted on the draft. And sort of get back to doing what they usually do, which is think about the next 5 years over this particular year. And whether Tom Brady's 40 or 41 or 42, or they just traded Garoppolo or not, that's still the right thing to do. So I think at some point there, they just sort of reached that, yeah, okay, Tom, you want your loyalty, you got it, we traded the kid, but we're not going to sacrifice everything else. We're going to put everything else on hold. So, yep, we can't pay your left tackle. You're going to have to make do with a new guy. And we can't pay your buddy Danny Amendola. You're going to have to make do with somebody else. And I'm actually all for it. The more I think about it, and I know it sounds silly to say it, but really they have to take that attitude. Screw Tom Brady. It's not as great as you are, it's not about you.
Bye-bye.
So just simply out of spite?
No. What's the right thing to do in terms of building your team? Make smart, long-term football decisions.
You had that opportunity last offseason, and you screwed it up. And that's because Bill thought he was going to be able to make it work somehow with these two quarterbacks, and it just wasn't going
to
happen.
But this is what I would say to Brady. You wanted to stay here. We can't put everything else on hold just because you have 2 years left. We can't do that. We're not going to manage our team for your final 2 years. We've got to do it for the next 5, 10, 15. It's going to be in our family for generations. So we're not going to do that. And I'm all for it.
Yeah, it's too, to me, that's now too, you can't think that way. You've now dedicated what you're going to do here the next few years behind Tom Brady now that you've moved on from Jimmy Garoppolo.
And so people ask, why would Bill do this when he's on his way out? Right? If Belichick's leaving in a year,
it shouldn't matter.
I think Bill's leaving in a year, personally. So they would say, well, why would Bill do this and lessen his chances to go out a winner? To which I would say there's a couple answers. One, he doesn't want to be Bill Parcells. He doesn't want to leave the team in ruin. We've mentioned this many, many times. He resents how Parcells handled himself in a lot of stops along the way. Bill wants to leave where he's at in a good spot and set it up for the future. He doesn't want to torch it on the way out of town. So that's one. Bill's concerned about his legacy like that, as he should be. It's just the right thing to do. Two, maybe he doesn't want to blow it up for his kids, who he still wants to work here, maybe. Maybe that's it. And three, the third one, maybe is a little Colin Coward, and that is, screw Brady. I'm not going to make decisions just to make him happy in the last year.
So then who's really the selfish one here? This is, again, speaks to, you know, the issues behind the scenes.
But I put that third. The first one is what's doing right for the team.
Well, the second one, too, he's trying to set up his kids. Well, that's inherently selfish that he's trying to look out for the younger Belichicks that he
wants.
No,
the second one I said was not to torch the thing on the way out. Not to torch the thing on the way out, and maybe part of the reason is that his kids are still there.
And the Kraft can't allow that. They can't let that happen if they think the vindictiveness is behind this. Look, I know Brady is the exception to the rule here, and I'm a bit biased because he's my favorite athlete ever. And could he be acting better and more mature? Sure, absolutely. But now that you're all in on him, you got to be all in with Tom Brady here for the next few years and screw thinking about what the team's going to look like in 2022.
I think they're doing just the opposite.
You can't. You can't. Well, then enjoy like 11-5, 12-4 and getting knocked out in the second round for the next couple of years until Brady's done.
See, so I think that's what's going to happen. I do think this behavior is consistent with how they've done things over the years.
Yes.
Right? I mean, totally. They're always long-term thinkers, almost always. I mean, there are exceptions to every rule. But they always think for the longer-term health of the franchise. That's consistent. The variable now is that they have a 41-year-old quarterback, and they chose that over the younger quarterback.
They should have stuck with the younger quarterback. But so now you're here. You can't put everything else on hold and do everything else wrong just because you did that thing wrong. How do the Patriots, and how does Bill really screw Brady?
Okay, so this is going to relate to my question, but go ahead. I was going to say you take a quarterback at 23.
You trade up for a quarterback. You trade up for one.
What if Mayfield's there and they draft Baker Mayfield?
You really screw Brady by trading up. Okay, you're screwing Brady as it is by going young in a lot of spots, and you're going to be relying on draft picks. But at least if you hit on those picks, that's going to help the team, right? So even though Brady has to start over at left tackle if he's a 22-year-old kid, if the kid can play, he'll help.
Yeah.
And if you draft a receiver that can replace a couple of guys you just lost, they're young and Brady has to work and bring them along, but if they can play, they'll help. A quarterback's not going to help Brady at all, so that would pork him. But it would really pork him if you take a couple picks and package and move up to trade a guy, to get a quarterback, because now Brady's not getting his left tackle, he's not getting his receiver, they're not filling pieces around him with young, good talent. They're just all putting in one basket to go get that quarterback, which does nothing for him. That's how you really bend Brady over.
So this is what I wondered today. It occurred to me late.
It's not just taking one, because if you take one, you can justify it, and you still...
No, the moving up's a good point.
So you have five picks in the top 95. If one of those five is a quarterback, okay, well, you get four other pieces to put around Brady and help win in the near term. If you take three of those pieces and package up to go get someone in the top 10, now it's really not about Brady.
Okay, do you think they'll do that?
No, I don't.
So I don't either, which is why I come back to, what if they take Baker Mayfield at 23? Okay, Tom, we used our best pick on a quarterback, just so you know.
Porking with a small p.
We traded Brandon Cooks for a quarterback, Tom. That's what we did. We had 31 either way, and we're going to help the defense there. But with our top pick, we're taking a QB. We gave up Brandon Cooks because we have to plan for life without you.
Yeah, that's a small screw you. If you move up and you try to get into the top Ooh. Five and you take Josh Rosen or someone like that,
Ooh.
Oh, that's, I
if,
mean.
If you take any of those, the five and the first 95, if you take any of those to package up for a quarterback and take away one of the players that you could be putting around him,
I mean, yep. This is, you know.
That's when you'll know. They're really saying, Tom, this ain't about you. You get to stay. We ditch the other kid, so you get to be a part of this rebuild, transition, whatever we're doing here, but we're not going to cater it to you.
It would all, oh, it so feel like they're expediting his exit. Like, okay, like this is going to be our new franchise quarterback. You go to the top five, you take one of these guys, you think this is the next guy. Like, come on, Tom, hurry up. And if I'm him, I'd walk. I would. What am I doing this for?
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that should be Tom saying
that. All right. So there's our latest Patriots rumor mongering with the Kyrie Irving news. Your reaction to both, I promise, in our long commercial-free segment. Next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mass.
Kyrie Irving shut down for the year. That was the breaking news today with the Celtics. How do you feel about that, short term and long term? Jeff, in Jamaica, maybe it's Jamaica Plain. I don't know, Jeff, wherever you're at, you're up.
Hey, what's going on, bro? I wanted to say it's a tough season for injuries in Boston. You know, with Gordon Hayward going down, I mean, that really sucked. And now Kyrie, I thought the team had a really good shot of going to the playoffs and doing well, maybe even going to the finals. But I think they're going to be going out like the Patriots did against the Eagles, because the Sixers are going to kick their ass.
Okay, so you're kind of all over the place. Maybe you're in Philly, not Jamaica Plain or Jamaica. Either way, I think it blows. I was looking forward to the run this spring. I was looking forward to the run. You weren't going to win a championship this year, but the thought of being able to get by LeBron, just those 2 weeks with LeBron, Kyrie versus LeBron, that's what it's all about.
I mean, to me, that would have been just great theater.
Unlike last year, it would have been a real series.
Would have been a real series. The hate between those two would have been real. The stakes between those two would have been real. And just that, those 2 weeks alone, we're deprived of that, and we may never get it. Maybe LeBron goes out west. Maybe he goes to Philly, and I guess it's Kyrie and LeBron next year with LeBron in Philly, but I don't know. It's just sort of, this was the year.
Oh, no, we were getting it now.
We were getting it now.
So, look, if LeBron ends up in Philly, I mean, that's pretty good, too. Like, don't get me wrong, maybe we'll get it next spring. And there's also the element of the way Philly did it versus the way you did it. Embiid, Jason Tatum, Fultz, like, all of it. Like,
Kyrie's former team, too. I think him and Dan Gilbert, we read stuff. I think those two hate each other.
The whole thing.
Oh, I wanted Kyrie and LeBron now.
Yeah, yep. Real quality hate.
Yep. Stephen A. got me all fired up the other day about that. He got me all fired up about it because I thought he nailed it. I didn't even think of the way he portrayed it. It was such a great take. He got me all fired up.
And so,
all hot and bothered. Now I got to take a cold shower. Go ahead.
There is no greater negative that can happen to LeBron James this year than losing to Kyrie Irving.
I'll
tell you, even the gal, she had a little, she had movement of some kind there. She liked that take a ton.
Headlights.
So we don't get that. We don't get that in the short term. And again, I think there's value there of getting by LeBron and showing the league that you're the next team and the destination and all of that. And that's all out the window. And that sucks. Lonnie in Washington. Go ahead, Lonnie.
Thanks for taking the call, fellas. Since San Antonio was on Kyrie's list before the Celtic trade, could he and maybe Jaylen Brown be packaged to get Kawhi and maybe you get a little... You know,
see, why are you doing that? You should be adding Kawhi Leonard to Kyrie Irving. That's the whole point.
Well, just a fear of his injury status, and that way you can keep both Rozier and Smart moving forward for pretty much the same price as you're going to pay for Kyrie.
So listen, Why are we so worried about keeping Rozier and Smart?
See, people do this. They somehow think that Rozier and Smart is equal to Kyrie if you have two of them. And no, it doesn't work that way. In that league more than any other, the one star can beat five players on his own, for crying out loud.
But let me tell you this. If they find out, and if they come to learn that Kyrie's really an injury risk, like really, that he's just a fragile ball player or injury-prone ball player, or that knee may never be right, and they can pump him and dump him and sell him, I'd consider that.
Sure.
You know, I mean...
Yeah, but I'm just saying that, if he's hurt, that's different. But if he's not, what do you want to keep Rozier and Smart for?
No. The whole point now is, again, assuming that he's going to be okay, and I still have my doubts, but assuming that he's going to be okay, Kyrie, you want to add to him, not use him to bring someone in. You add it to him. That's the whole point. Rocco and Saugus on the Patriots. Hi, Rocco.
Hey, first, all right, I want to talk about the Boston, and first I do agree with Murray. Listen, this season is going to remind me of 2013 all over again with Brady. I mean, his numbers are going to be off. I have to be consistent. I called all year. I said Brady's game was off, his field vision, his accuracy. I feel like we're probably going to be 10-6, and then, maybe we'll get to the second round. But it's that, man. This is 2013 all over again. And Bill, you're saying that Bill doesn't have it in him to be like, think five steps ahead, be like, oh, look, his game is off. Now we should have kept Garoppolo. This is the same guy who traded Garoppolo for a bag of beans. So obviously, I really do think Bill has a little devious in him that he will, basically sabotage Brady.
Okay, so I don't think it's above Bill to. Well, look, Bill's not going to sabotage the team. He's not sabotaging the team to prove a point on Brady. He's not doing that. Just like he didn't sabotage the Super Bowl. He thought he was going to win the Super Bowl. Okay? But so, like, do you understand what I'm saying here? He will do things for personal reasons, and that will enter into his thinking because he's human and that just happens to all of us. So, if Malcolm Butler was one of his guys, is what I'm trying to say. He plays. I don't care what Malcolm Butler did or looked like or said, whatever happened there. If Malcolm Butler was one of Bill's guys, he's on the field. But Malcolm Butler was dead to Bill long before that because of the contract stuff and other stuff. And so Bill, in Bill's mind, well, screw him. And so is there, can there be a little bit of that creeping into the Brady thing? Yeah. We're letting Nate Solder go. That's what's smart and the right thing to do for the next 5 to 10 years. It's going to hurt Brady, but you know what? Screw him. We showed him his loyalty. We traded the kid. You're fine, Tom. And so is that little thing creeping in with Belichick? Maybe. And again, I think these moves are long-term moves. How big of a hit do they take in the short term? It's not 10-6.
No.
Not lucky to get to the second round. You're hosting the tomato can game. Okay, you can book that. You are hosting the tomato can game, which means all you have to do is win that home game on 2 weeks of rest against the tomato can to be in the AFC title game. I think you're right back there. But I think the team is taking a step back.
Oh, there's no question they are. I mean, you just can't lose, at least in the short term. Now, by December?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Short term, I mean in the next year or two, if they're going young they're going to take a little step back.
Well, and that is probably true. I'm saying that, with Belichick, you never know. There's a chance that they hit the draft right and then all of a sudden they're good in December. I wouldn't rule that out either. I'm just telling you it's a longer shot than it would have been otherwise. And so, look, in the past when they've done this, Chandler Jones and Hightower were drafted in 2012. Patriots didn't win it until their third season, right? And so if you remember that year, they came out of the gate in the opener at Tennessee. There was one guy made the strip sack, and the other guy recovered it, right? I think Jones made the strip sack, and Hightower recovered it in the end zone. But Hightower didn't have a great year as a rookie, and Jones was, a little inconsistent. So I think you're going to get some of that with younger players. It's just a given.
It's the right thing to do for the long-term future of the team.
Sure it is.
And that's what they're doing. And the quarterback's 41 and wants to win now? Tough.
Oh, he's going to be pissed, though.
He's already pissed.
This is Belichick's way of grabbing the reins again. Fine, Tom.
But it's also the right thing to do.
No, it's not. It's not the right thing to do. I don't know how you can... You think it's the right thing to do because you think Brady's acting like an ass.
No.
And he deserves some sort of comeuppance here.
I think it's the right thing to do because that's what they would say. It's always about the next 5 years. It's always about...
No, if they're doing this, and it does feel like this is what they're trying to do, they're trying to appease both. Brady, still competitive, and you're here, and we move Garoppolo for you, and Bill still has to be able to make these decisions, too. So can we just have a happy medium? But you can't.
But you're leaving out the big thing, and that is the team wants to be as competitive as they can in 5 years.
Yeah, good luck without this guy when he walks. Yeah, you gotta, please. It'll be 10-6, maybe 9-7. It'll be like the late 90s all over again. Yay. Ooh, we're kind of competitive like the rest of the league. You have to think of now when you have the greatest quarterback of all time still playing at this level.
They ain't doing it.
I know it's short-sighted,
they
but
ain't
to
doing
think
it.
Otherwise is stupid.
They ain't doing it.
See,
it's obvious they're not doing that.
You had your opportunity last year. It's too late now. It's too late. You have to invest in what's left with Tom Brady.
Murray, they should have kept the other guy.
Traded him before the season so you could have gotten more picks other than the second round.
That horse is up the barn. So now you're here. They should have.
So you made your decision. You're behind Brady.
So they should.
Now a year later.
So what should they do, Murray? Package these picks for Odell Beckham? Because that's a win now move. Package these picks for a left tackle, a veteran left tackle? Because that's a win now move.
No, they should have signed Nate Solder. Okay, they have to figure out the Gronkowski thing. Those are the two most important things thus far.
So this Gronkowski's another one that maybe they're saying you know what, guys? You're both talking about retirement, so why would we give you any more money?
Oh, no, I bet you that's exactly what they're doing.
This is no longer about you.
No, they're treating them both the same way in this. They're going to draft a quarterback and a tight end.
Gronk and Tom. These are not the Gronkowski Brady Patriots. These are the New England Patriots owned by the Krafts, who is going to pass on generation to generation of ownership for a long time. It ain't about you. So you're talking about retirement. Why would we ever give you more money? Why would we ever do that? We are moving on, and we love that you're here, and you're going to be here a part of that move on, but we're moving on. That's what they're doing.
Murray, listen, I hear you, because I felt this way yesterday, and I still do.
Now I know where you were getting at yesterday.
Yeah, so you've got a young quarterback and an old quarterback. You keep the old quarterback, but then you take away all his toys.
They've already made that decision.
So
we're not debating that anymore.
No, so they went back to what they would normally do.
Correct.
This is their way of appeasing Tom was by trading Garoppolo.
Got it.
Now they're saying to Tom, but that's all you're getting.
Exactly.
You're not getting any more.
Exactly.
Which
right.
I understand. But you have to agree with Murray. It's inconsistent.
Of course.
So now.
The mistake, though, was Garoppolo, Murray.
Yep. But now the end of Tom versus Tom.
You should mention that once or twice, Maz.
Yeah. let me repeat that, Murray. The mistake is not what they're doing
don't
now.
Don't be afraid to bring that up.
The mistake was trading Garoppolo.
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
Or not maximizing the asset.
They will regret that forever. Yep. Forever they will regret
that. And now the end of Tom versus Time, Episode 6, makes sense. What am I doing this for if they're not fully committed behind me? So, if they're not going to be, he should walk.
And the team is saying, you're talking about retirement. Why would we ever load up and do this stuff just for you when you might walk away here because you want to pick up your kid at hockey practice?
What a spitting match. What a spitting match.
I think the team's doing the right thing
now. You know what they should do? 23, quarterback, 31, tight end.
That would be great. That's coming.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.